Oh, I'm happy to be here. It brings back good memories, good memories. Yeah, like Kim said, I'm Jen. I think I know. Have met pretty much everybody, so we should just all sit in a circle and talk. Less formal. But yeah, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here. I've been coming to Lamplighters for like 8 years, and so the last few years are weird not to come. If I just take a minute and I sit back and I think about just those 8 years, Lamplighters is such a blessing, such a huge part of my life and our family's life. And yeah, I honestly, not just saying, I really don't know what kind of mom or wife I would be if I didn't have Lamplighters. Like, I can remember specific speakers and specific messages, and like, I still use a lot of the things that we learned from those messages today, even the crafts. Like I was telling Lorraine, we made these clippies 1 year, and Carcar used those for like 8 years. So love, 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 love Lamplighters. So today what we're going to talk about is teaching the word to our kids. And so I was telling Lorraine, I was kind of worried that it might seem like a review to you, because a lot of you come to Lighthouse, and we're so blessed to sit under such good teaching, and this is something that Kim has taught on before, so I hope that it's still helpful to you, and you can still take away a few practical things that you can use in your family and in your life. Maybe first think of the topic of teaching the word to your kids. Maybe you think Bible study. Like, okay, I just need to sit down with my kids and have a little quiet time with them or something. Maybe that's the first thing that comes to your mind. But today we're going to look at how the word talks about so much more than that, how there's just so many different ways that we can teach the word to our kids and just the importance of that. So that's what we're going to be looking at. And like some of you, I know your kids are really young too, and you might not think, oh, well, this doesn't apply to me because I only have babies. But it totally applies to you, because even when they're babies, they can start learning things of God just in how you raise them and how you interact with them and how you talk to them. And two, you want to be thinking about it now, because when your kid turns two and starts asking you all these questions, you're not all of a sudden going to know all the answers, right? So you want to start thinking about how you're going to teach your kids the word now. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. So I'll just pray for us, and then we'll get into our passage. So Lord, we just thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for Lamplighters, God. Thank you for just this ministry. Thank you for the core team and just for their willingness to serve you in this way. Thank you for bringing all the ladies here. I pray that you would just bless each mom who's here this morning. Help them to just be able to sit and to relax and just to have open hearts to the things that you want to speak to them, just about teaching the word to their kids. And I pray that you would be with all the moms who couldn't make it too, and help them if their kids are sick or with whatever they're doing. So Lord, we just pray that you would bless our time and just really help us to be able to learn more how we can teach just your truth and your word to our children. So we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the passage that we're going to look at today is one that I know most of you know really well. It's Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. But if you don't have your Bible, I totally understand. It's hard enough just to be here and to have your clothes on and to be sitting in your seat. So if you're here, that's good enough. But if you do have your Bible, you can turn to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6. And I'll read that for us. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." Okay, so again, I'm sure a lot of you have heard this passage before. The context, so kind of what's happening around this passage, is that Moses is preparing the Israelites to go into the Promised Land. And so they've been in the wilderness for 40 years, and now God's going to give them the opportunity to live in the promised land. And so Moses is preparing them to do that, okay? And it's good to know that this land that they're going to is a place that's very different, and the people there loathe their God and worship other idols, okay? So that's kind of what he's preparing the Israelites to go into. And so, similarly, this is our families as well, right? This is our kids. We're families living in a foreign land where people hate our God and worship idols, and we're going to be sending our kids into the world where people don't believe the same things, and we want to prepare them for this, right? And so, like, for example, we could be sending them to public school where schools teach things opposite of what the Bible says, and so this is so applicable to us, right? And just looking at the word and seeing, okay, how do I prepare my kids for this? Or even to when, you know, they leave your house when they're 18 and they're going to be living on their own in the world. So, yeah, so this passage is perfect for us to study. And so it's kind of key just to see. It's not complicated, but the main thing that Moses gives the people to prepare them is he gives them the word of God. Right, so he's repeating the word of God to the Israelites, for this is what's going to help prepare them for the new land. So again, it becomes a really important passage for us as parents to really study and to know. So the key idea that we're going to look at this morning is, and it's on your little outline, it's we need to prepare our children for the world by teaching them the word of God, and specifically, we need to diligently and constantly teach them to worship God alone through the gospel. Okay, so that's what we're going to look at this morning. So the first point on your outline is, what should we teach our kids from the word? Okay, what should we teach them from the word? And it's to worship God alone through the gospel. Okay, so to worship God alone through the gospel. So to prepare our kids to live in a foreign land, we need to teach them the word of God, and this specifically, from the Word of God, we want to teach them about what true worship is and about the gospel. So the first part is the Word. And so, again, Moses is telling Israel what they need to know before they go into this new land. And in verse 6, 1, it says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it." So here Moses is telling the Israelites that these are the rules and the statutes that they need to know before they go into the promised land. And Moses is telling the Israelites God's word to prepare them. He's not doing anything complicated, but he's just teaching them the word of God. So again, this is what we as moms want to do, right? We want to just teach the word of God to our kids, because that's going to be the best thing that we can do, right, to prepare them to go into the world and to know how to live for God in the world. One author, right, she kind of illustrates this point in saying that if our children don't know the word, then they're not going to be able to live the way that God wants. If they don't know the word, they're not going to understand life. And if they don't know the word, they're going to figure out their own way of living, which could lead to some dangerous or challenging lives, right? So that's scary. Like, that's kind of the consequences of what's going to happen if we don't teach our kids the word. So, again, we foremost want to teach our kids the word. And just, like, as a reminder, teaching our kids the word should come before ballet. It should come before soccer. It should come before teaching them how to ride a bike, teaching them how to play video games or basketball. Teaching the word of God needs to be our top priority. So often, and this totally includes myself, that we just get really, we could be so diligent in teaching our kids other things, right? Like, we teach them how to read, or their letters, or their sounds, or piano, or riding a bike, or basketball, or sports, right? And we're so good at that, but then sometimes that takes our focus off, you know, the main thing that we want to be teaching, and that's the Word of God. So we just want to really think about what are the main things that we're trying to teach our kids. Okay, so we need to teach them the Word. And specifically from the Word, what do we need to teach them? The first part is that we want to teach them what true worship is. So in verse 5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command today shall be on your heart." Okay, so this part of the passage is describing worship. And God is telling us that we need to teach our children to worship God and to love God above all things. Loving God with all your heart, soul, and might means that you love him with your whole life. It means worshiping him with every part of your being. And so here in this passage, we can see that we need to teach our children to worship and to love God with their entire life. Worship is the most important truth that we can teach our kids about, because all of life is about worship. We were created to worship. Our desires and our wants, that's worship. And every day of every moment, pretty much, we're worshiping something. So we really want to teach our kids how to do that rightly. The opposite of right worship is idolatry, right? That's when we worship other things, anything, even a good thing, above God. And so that's what we want to teach against, right, in our kids' lives. If you just took a step back and you thought about it, there's so many things that kind of take our eyes off of God, our kids' eyes off of God, right? It's just everywhere. It's on TV and magazines. It's toys. It's entertainment. It's amusement parks. It's anything. I mean, there's so many things. But we want to just remember, okay, so what's like the, one of the main things that we want to teach our kids from the Word, and that's to worship God, to love him above all of those things. So like for my kids, I know that this is a constant struggle, right? Like, I'm sure if I ask them, what do you think is the most important thing that you're supposed to love? They might say God. But, you know, really, if you look at their lives, it's like you could tell that they love TV, they love movies, they love playing video games, they love sports, they love lots of other things, right? And so those things can all be good, and they're all fine, but we just want to make sure that we're teaching our kids it's okay to like those things, but we want to love God the most. You know, we want to love him above all of those things. So you want to think about it for yourself, right? Because if we're going to tell our kids, all right, kids, you know, the most important thing is we need to know the Word. And one thing from the Word is we need to love God with all our heart, soul, and strength. And if you don't do it, then they're not going to do it either, right? And so you really just want to look at your own life. Like, if I were to go up and ask your kids, which is scary because kids say everything, they'll tell me the truth. And if I were to ask your kids, you know, what do you think is really important to mommy? You know, or what do you think that mommy really worships? And they might say, you know, would they say shopping, Facebook, computer, exercising, a clean house, or your looks? It would be scary. I mean, I won't do it, but it would be scary, right? If you kind of ask your kids that, or if you ask your kids, well, what do you think daddy worships? What's the most important things to him? Would they say things like the Lakers, the Dodgers, food, his computer, sleeping? So think about it, right? So you want to kind of just look at your life and see what are you worshiping. And I know it's a struggle for all of us, right? Constantly worshiping and loving things above God. But we want to just be going in the direction of loving God first and loving God most. For our family, I think Kim had kind of spoken on the same passage. Maybe it's already been like a year ago. But I remember, yeah, when he was teaching, it was very convicting, because I think when you kind of take a look at just like what's going on in your family's life, like if you look at your schedule, you look at where do you spend your time, where do you spend your money, that's very telling of what is of value to you, right? What's important to you. And so, yeah, I was just really convicted to really reevaluate like what our family does, and just making sure that, you know, like, are the things that we're doing, are they really pointing our kids to God, or are they pulling them away from God? You know, like if I put all my kids in soccer and do all these activities and, you know, running around like a crazy person all the time, which is sometimes what I do, but if that's what I have for my family, then I'm not probably teaching them that God is the most important thing in life, right? I'm teaching them that maybe all these other things like success or sports or whatever is the most important. So, just taking time to kind of reevaluate and think, all right, like, first of all, do I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? And I want to so that I can model that for my kids. So that's the first part, is just to think about true worship, okay, and teaching that to our kids. And then the second part of the word that we really want to teach to our kids is to teach our kids to worship through the gospel. So worshiping God through the gospel means that we need to be teaching our children about right worship and teaching them the good news. So when you read verse 5 again, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you might be thinking, I don't ever do that. I can't ever do that perfectly because I'm constantly worshiping other things. And if you thought that, then you are exactly right. In this passage, Moses is giving the Israelites the law of God, and part of the purpose of God's law is to teach us that we can never fulfill the law perfectly. If you and I tried to love God every minute of the day perfectly, we would never, ever be able to do it. But that's where the good news comes in, right? The good news of Christ. Because we're all sinners and because no one's perfect, God had to do something to make us right with him. And he can't be in relationship with us as sinners because he's holy. And so in his grace and mercy, he sacrificed his son to die for our sins. And so Christ's sacrifice on the cross pays the penalty for our debt, and we're declared righteous before him. So if we have faith in the sacrifice of Christ, we're given eternal life with God, and we have a restored relationship with him. And then once we have that restored relationship with him, then we can start to worship rightly. So the gospel allows us to see our sin and our failures, and then to see how much more God loves us and forgives us, right? So our goal is that we want to love God with all our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, but we often fail, right? We often cherish and love and demand all these other things above him. But praise God for the gospel, right, that he offers forgiveness and grace and mercy to us every day. I think for me, parenting has been the most sanctifying tool, that in marriage has been the most sanctifying tool in my life. Like, I think growing up, it's pretty easy. I don't know. For me, I grew up in a Christian home, so it was kind of, I kind of grew up thinking, oh, I'm not really that bad of a person. You know, like, I don't know, I don't really do that many bad things. But, oh man, you talk to me now. I can come and tell you about my sins for days. Oh, and my kids could too, you ask them. So, again, just praise God, right, that he gives us that grace and that mercy and that forgiveness. And just in our walks with the Lord, that's what we want to be teaching our kids every day, right, is showing them through our own lives, you know, that we too are trying to love God, but we often don't do it or don't live the way he wants, but he offers us grace and forgiveness, and so that's what we want to be living and then teaching to our kids. I think with our kids, I think discipline is probably one of, like, the, I don't know, I feel like I teach my kids the gospel all the time because of discipline. So, right, like if one of our kids sins in some way or does something, then I'll set them down and I'll say, okay, you know what, that's not right, right? So, like, for example, if one of them had a toy and took it from somebody else, that's not right, right? So we say, hey, we don't take toys from our brother or sister. Because that toy has become an idol, right? Like, they're willing to sin to get it. They're willing to hit their brother or just steal it or whatever. So then, you know, we'll talk about it. We'll say, no, that's not right. You need a discipline for this. And so we'll do a discipline. And then after the discipline, then we'll talk about, you know what, why do we give you a discipline? You know, it's because God tells mommy that I need to give you a discipline to teach you, you know, right and wrong. I want you to be a boy or girl who loves God. And, you know, but does God forgive you for, you know, taking that toy or worshiping that idol or whatever verbiage you use? And then we talked about the gospel, right? So for us, that happens all the time because our kids are sinning all the time. And so, but if you think about it, right, just in that one little discipline, you've taught your kids so much about the word in that one little conversation, right? You've taught them about the word. You've taught them about worship. You've taught them about idolatry. You've taught them about the gospel, about grace, about forgiveness. So much just in that little conversation. So for us, I feel like discipline is one of the key ways that I really try to live this out is in how we discipline our kids. I want to encourage you. Sometimes I think it seems like daunting, like my kid is crazy or my kid won't stop, you know, doing such and such thing. And that's totally our family too. Like one of our kids, and you guys all know my children. I only have one girl, but one of my children who is a girl has a really hard time with speaking kindly. Like that's just her struggle. And like sometimes I think she does it on purpose. Sometimes it just kind of comes out and she doesn't even know that it sounds unkind. And we've had to talk to her, discipline her many, many times about speaking kindly, not being bossy, not being, you know, kind of condescending to her siblings, things like that. But I'm so thankful for that because she totally understands the gospel, right? Because we've had to have this little conversation, this little discipline talk tons of times. But I'm thankful because she really understands grace. Like, she really understands God's forgiveness. She really understands she's a sinner and that she needs Christ, you know. So in those moments where you're just so tired of disciplining her, maybe you feel like it's like, oh, this is never going to end or you're never going to change, don't despair. Be thankful, you know, thankful that God gives you these opportunities to really teach the word and the gospel to your kids. That's the first thing, is that we need to be teaching our children the word of God, and specifically to worship God and to worship and love him through the gospel. Again, just to kind of further illustrate, like our one son is learning how to swim. So if I took our youngest son and I just chucked him in the pool and said, oh, I hope he learns how to swim, that would be crazy, right? But I think that is just a good reminder to us that we don't want to be those parents who are going to be doing that for our kids when they go out into the world alone, you know? So whether that's when they go to preschool, when they go to kindergarten, when they leave for college, we don't want to say, oh, I hope that you know how to live rightly, and I hope you know the word of God, and I hope you know all these things that you need to know, you know, in order to live for God, and we haven't taught them anything, you know? And we look back and we think, well, I was really good because I taught them about soccer and I taught them how to write good and how to get straight A's. Those are all good, but you know, when you're throwing them into the world, then you want to be able to at least have peace that you did everything that you could to teach them the word, to prepare them to live how God wants them to live when they're on their own. Okay. And time's going to fly by. I mean, I know all the moms who come say that. It already is. Like Caleb, I put his shoes on yesterday and they fit me. So we wear the same size shoe. It's just crazy. And it goes by so fast. But do it now when they're little. Like, I think at the beginning you might think, oh, I can't teach my kids the word. They're just babies, but they really can't. Like even CJ, he can, like, he doesn't even really talk that great, but he's singing, you know, Come Thou Fount, you know, with all these interesting words that he's submitted himself. But hey, his heart is there, right? And he's learning a lot. So your kids can learn it too. But we just need to be focused to be teaching them the right things. And a little while back, we had gone and visited this other church, and we were talking to this one mom, and her kids are older. Her son was like, so he was Ivy League. He went to medical school. He's still in medical school, going to be a surgeon. You could tell, you know, she was very proud of that, very excited for him. But then, like, at the end of the conversation, she was talking about how he doesn't follow the Lord. Like, he's not with the Lord. He, you know, he's just busy with his career. And so, I don't know. I think for Kim and I, that was just such a good reminder. Same thing, right? It's like, what are we teaching our kids right now? You know, like, what are we focusing on? Because if we're all about grades and if we're all about, you know, soccer and all these things, and then in the end, that's what our kids follow and that's what they worship, then that's, I don't want that for us, you know. So it's just a good reminder to just kind of refocus and to make sure that you are thinking and teaching your kids the most important thing. Okay, so that's the first thing. So then the second part is, how do I teach my kids the word? And that's the second thing on your outline. And it's to know it myself. Okay, so how do I teach my kids the word? It's to know it myself. So in verse 6, it says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Okay? So the key is that the words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Okay? So here, God's teaching us that, again, if we want to teach our kids about the word and about the life, then we have to know the word ourselves, right? And two, it's key that it says on your heart. So it's not that you just have this intellectual understanding of the word, which is good, but you also want to know how to live it out and have it be part of your heart, because that's what you want. That's what you need in order to teach your kids. Okay, so yes, we definitely want to know the words ourselves. Ted Tripp, we really like Ted Tripp. He wrote Instructing a Child's Heart. And he writes, the most effective way to teach our children to love the scripture is to love it ourselves. Okay? So if we want our kids to love the word, then we need to love it as well. So I'm not saying that you need to go to seminary or to have a master's of divinity to be a parent, but I believe that the word of God is telling us that we need to be diligent studiers of the word of God ourselves. We have to take the time to memorize, to study, and to know and apply the word of God. As we're able to understand it, then we're going to be able to teach it to our kids better. And we can't think that Sunday school teachers will teach them enough about the word to live by. Our kids are only with our Sunday school teachers, and God bless them. Our kids really do learn a lot through Sunday school, but that's not enough, okay? We can't just depend on Sunday school to teach them about God and regular school to teach them the things that they need to know for life. It's us, and it comes from us knowing the word. Another quote from Ted Tripp is that he writes, the primary place for children to receive formative instruction is in the home. Okay, so that's you guys, you and your husband. So moms, we need to love God's word. We need to study it. We need to think about it. We have to apply it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So here, that's talking about how the Bible is sufficient for all things, right? It gives us everything that we need for life. So that, for sure, is what we want to be teaching to our kids. So a few practical ways. I know that a lot of you guys are well-versed in the Word. Maybe for some of us, it's newer, like learning how to study the Word on our own. But here's just some suggestions or some ideas that I came up with that will help you to grow in your own understanding of the Word. So the first is simple, right? Attend church. At Lighthouse, we are so blessed to sit under really great teaching. So I know just by coming every Sunday, you will learn the Word of God. But if you don't come to Lighthouse, there are lots of other great churches, and I know that you can definitely learn the Word of God at your church as well. You want to read good books on studying the Word. So that could be like a commentary or another book on a specific book of the Bible.
We went to this gospel coalition. It's this really, I think that as Christian Disneyland, it's like all our favorite speakers. There's John Piper and D.A. Carson. All these amazing authors were there, and we got to hear them, and they have this huge like room full of all these resources. So this is one that I picked up. This is by Kathleen Nielsen. And this, I thought, like, so if you wanted to study a certain book of the Bible on your own, it she has like tons of these like on all the books, and then it just really takes you through it. She gives, sadly I haven't done, only at the beginning, but yeah, really good. Gives you the background if you wanted like a really good grasp of what one specific book of the Bible that might be a good resource for you. Another thing is attending Bible study. I know that I've learned so much attending Bible study at Lighthouse through all the different books that we've read. It's been really good. Just making that daily time to spend in the Word, I think that's pretty key. Coming to Lamplighters, that's a really good one. Listening to the Bible or to messages on CD or... That's so old school. I was like, oh, I need to update that. So a downloaded message, listening to that. We're so blessed. It's so easy now. We don't have to have a little cassette tape that we have to purchase and put in our Walkman. But you can just download anybody, right? You feel like, oh, I feel like listening to John Piper today. Just click on that. Or I feel like listening to whoever. It's so easy for us. I think finding a discipler, like if you could find somebody, a gal who is a little bit more mature in her faith or studied in the Word, who you can meet with, who could teach you how to study the Word, would be outstanding, great way to learn the Word. And then I also put on the back of your outline another set of books that you could look at if you're interested in studying the Word more. Let's see. Oh, another good book that we heard this gal. Her name is Jen Wilkin, and I got to hear her at the conference, and she was really, really good. And this is her book. It's called Women of the Word, and I really, really like this book. So if you're interested in studying the Word more on your own, and it's good for beginners to people who have studied the Word for a long time. Like, she kind of just talks about, like, yeah, so it's like study with a process. Like, she gives examples of how she goes through her own Bible study. And, like, she had one really good point about how, like, a lot of times when we read the Word, we're just, like, looking in the Word for something for ourselves to encourage ourselves for that day, when really that's not how we should always approach the Word, right? Because the Word is about God, so we need to study the whole book and not just kind of pick out random things for ourselves. So really good book. So if you want to look at that, I have that up here if you want to look at. And then one other thing that I this was also from that conference. This is a women's devotional Bible. It's in the ESV, what we use here at Lighthouse. And it's really good. I haven't obviously read the whole thing, but it just, in the different chapters or different parts, it has all these really great authors who have written different devotionals on the different parts of the Bible that it coordinates with. So that's another good resource. Okay, so there's... Sorry? Oh, good. Yeah, so good one. So, so many good resources, but you just got to make the time, make it a priority, right, that you want to be in the Word and know it yourself so that you could teach it to your kids. A lot of our friends have kids, and some of them, it's so interesting how all the kids are so different, but a couple of my friends, oh man, they have these kids who are deep thinkers, and they ask deep questions. Like, one of them asked, why does God want all the glory for himself, you know? Or, is he being selfish, or where did evil come from, right? And they're like, maybe they asked that when they were like 6. So that's not that far from you guys. You might think that, oh, that's when they're in high school. No, that was like when they're 6. But you want to be prepared, right? Like, if your kid starts asking you these questions, you want to have an answer. And
in order to have that answer, you have to be studying the Word. And I know, I totally understand how time is short and we are so busy, like, especially with little ones. But just, I encourage you to find the time. Like, one mom, I think I heard another message about, she's like, at the beginning or when I was crazy busy, I would just read my Bible when I'm going to the bathroom. So, hey, 5 minutes, right? Right there. You got 5 minutes, or maybe three or whatever. But, hey, that's better than nothing, right? So just start small. Like, if you don't have the time, you know, and your baby starts crying or whatever, and you don't have, like, a long period of time to read, it's okay. God knows, you know. But just make it a priority. Like, for myself, I remember, I think it was the last session that I was in here, Kyle Shimazaki came, and he was kind of talking about the same thing. And he's like, well, ladies, if you cut out, you know, all the time that you were on Instagram or watching any kind of TV show or, you know, shopping or doing other things that maybe you don't have to do, then you probably could scrounge up 15 minutes a day, you know, or you could scrounge up some time. So for me, that was really convicting because I think it's easy just to say, oh, I have kids, I'm so busy, I don't really have time to study. But you do, you know, just try to find it where you can. Okay, so that is the second point. And then the last point is, when should we teach our children? And that's constantly through the classroom of life. Okay, so when should we teach our children? Constantly through the classroom of life. So in verse 7, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Okay, so in this part of the passage, we can see that God tells us when we should teach our children the Word of God. We may, again, think that we only teach our kids the Word of God when they go to Sunday school, when they're at church, or when we're having that little Bible study time with them. But that's not what the Scripture is saying. The Scripture is saying all the time, right? It's when you sit, when you walk, when you rise. So that's all the time. Instructing a Child's Heart by Ted and Margie Tripp. Again, was a really great book. And so he explains that we need to give our children formative instruction. So informative instruction forms or shapes our children. And it's basically just using the Word of God to form and to shape our children to reflect God. Its focus is interpreting and responding to life in biblical ways. And the key is that it could be planned or that it could be unplanned. Okay, so planned would be more like a formal Bible study or like a time where you're sitting down, like a family worship or something that you've planned ahead of time. Or unplanned is just in those teachable moments, you know, just through life when your kids are disobeying or even when you're having fun together or maybe you're outside at the beach and you just comment about God's creation and how great God is. Unplanned, right, just in a little teachable moment. And so, again, remembering that that's how we're going to teach the Word to our kids, right, is both planned and unplanned. So it says the beginning, when you sit at home, okay, so for us in our time, in our day, that could be during dinner, during family worship, when your family is just hanging out. In our house, it kind of works out. Like, I feel like I do a lot of the unplanned teaching, and Kim does more planned. So, like, when he comes home, lately, he's been really good about leading the kids in a family worship. So they'll sit down, or we'll all sit down. None of us, well, we're trying to become musical. Our kids are, but we're not at the point where we could just play a worship song on the piano and sing. So we turn on YouTube, and we sing a song from YouTube, like a worship song. And it's nice, has all the words. And then Kim will usually share, like, a little devotion. He's done lots of different things. Sometimes he's gone through a specific book. Or a lot of times it's he'll just be thinking about, you know, things that they need to work on and, like, try to think of, like, a good teaching time for them through that. So that's a good sitting at home thing. Let's see. When our kids, I know it's different when your kids are all ages, but this is Kayla. I asked Caleb if I could bring his little quiet time journal. It's hard during the school year, but during the summer we can have more time to kind of do those planned times to study the word. So, like, so simple. We just wrote down a little Bible verse, and I wrote down, what is one thing that you learned? What did Jesus do? And who's in the story? You know, just real simple. Just kind of getting them into just the process or the practice of reading the word and, like, thinking about it, right? How to apply. He'll journal. He'll write his prayer requests for other people. So that's kind of more like a planned time or when you're sitting at home. And then the passage says when you're lying down, right, at end of the day. So maybe for us, that's, you know, maybe a bedtime story, like a storybook Bible story, a prayer. For sure, we always end our day with a prayer for each of our kids. And that's, like, that's one specific message I remember. Karen's going to come. I think she's coming last. And she came and gave a message on how she, like, prayed for her kids, specific things for each kid. And it was so cool because she shared how, like, her kids are grown. And she's like, it's so amazing how God grew those things in those kids that she prayed for, you know, whether it was like a heart of compassion, a love for the word. I don't remember the specific things that she said for her kids, but that was so encouraging. So that's something that we do. And then too, like, kind of just in light of this message, like, something that we pray for, or specifically CJ, is just that he would love God more than anything. So CJ can repeat our prayers to us because we kind of say the same thing every night. But that's good, right? Because it's kind of ingraining in his head. Like, hopefully that, you know, that's our huge desire for him, is that he would love God more than anything. So at the end of the day, whatever it is for your family, you know, reading a story, prayer time, family worship. And then the other part of the passage says rising, right? So that's at the start of the day. We can teach our kids about the word. For our family, it's hard because we're just, like, rushing around to try to get to school dressed and clothed and with all our homework and our lunch. But the one thing that we try to do is when we're driving, we have this praying place. And so when we drive to school, whenever we pass the Starbucks on 190th and Anza, everyone yells out, "Praying place!" And that's just our time to pray. So we'll pray for the day. We'll pray for people who are in need. We'll pray for the kids that our family's committed to praying for every day. Yeah, and that's just a sweet time. And it's so good because they remind me, like, if it was just up to me, I probably would forget a lot of the times. But again, just a really great time to teach them about the word and about prayer. It's just when you're rising. And then the other part is, like, walking along the road. So we don't walk along the road much. We're just in our car on the road. But really, I don't know. I was thinking about a lot of, like, the really good conversations I've had with our kids about life and about the word. A lot of them have been in the car, like, just when we're driving, you know. So I'll pick up the kids from school. How's school? You know, what happened? You know, this happened. Da, da, da. And, like, just even recently, like, God brought to mind, like, I had some really good conversations, like, one with JoJo. He was asking, like, "Mom, you know, like, what are we supposed to do when, you know, like, people are just mean to us? You know, what are we supposed to do?" Because he knows, right, you don't, like, retaliate, but I don't know. So we just had a really good conversation about how we can love our enemies, love people who are unkind to us. And, like, yeah, we even had a hermeneutics question. Like, they were asking about some passage in the Bible. Oh, because they were listening to the message that Kim shared this past Sunday about the part of the Bible that maybe wasn't in the original Bible. And they were really excited about that and learning about that. So we had this really good conversation about the word and things like that. So again, teaching the word to our kids is not just this one little specific time. It's all the time, right? It's in the morning, it's at night, it's in the car, it's just all the time. And God's so wise, right? Because he knew back then and even now that that's how we should teach our kids. A few practical ideas. I've kind of shared a lot of the things that we do in our family, but I had a few other ideas for teaching the word to your kids. So one is definitely listening to worship music in the car. Seeds of Life, Sovereign Grace for Kids. VeggieTales, some of them have funny words, but our kids listen to them. So good, right? Like, when the kids are just singing these songs, they're just basically singing scripture, right? And such a blessing. Our kids, one pastor showed Kim this rap CD, his name's Shy Lin, and he raps theology. And so our older two thought that was so cool, and they memorized this entire song. And it's hilarious. Like, if they could rap it to you right now, and they did it for the talent show at school. And they, but it's amazing. They can tell you about the Trinity. They could tell you about all these theological terms. And, like, you know, like, if we're talking about something, Kim can say, you know, and he'll, like, kind of jog their memory about that part of the rap. And they're like, oh, yeah, the Trinity is blah, blah, blah. So really good. It's amazing. Amazing. Even through rap. So listening to things in the car, we just took a road trip and we listened to those Odyssey. I hadn't listened to those in ages, not since I was a kid. They're so good. They're like these little CDs of like little stories. There's no video, you know, no visual. But I heard that they actually do have a video, but Kim's like, don't tell our kids, because we want to use it, you know, for them to use their imaginations and to think about. But those were really good. I was like crying. Like, there's one about like death, and oh, this is really good. But really taught our kids a lot about stories of the Bible. Devotions, doing devotions with your kids, having your kids do a daily quiet time, going to church, having your kids go to Sunday school, talking to them about what they learned from Sunday school. Memorizing scripture is good. Just asking your kids how their day was and kind of giving them counsel, you know, on what happened to them during the day. One thing that we would do when the kids were little and we would be waiting in the car for something, we play the thankful game. So we just go around in a circle until you couldn't think of any more, then you lose. You can't think of something to share that you're thankful about. And that was such a good time, because it really made them think like, oh, I'm thankful for mommy, for daddy, for food, for, you know, on and on. Let's see. Through discipline, what we talked about before, definitely a really good way to teach your kids the word. Christian movies. Chris's favorite movie is Soul Surfer. It's kind of graphic. It's like about the girl whose arm got bit off by the shark, but she was a Christian. And for some reason, Chris just loves that movie. I think it's because it kind of speaks truth into her life. And she really learned the concept that God can turn these really difficult and hard things into something good. And she really understood that from Soul Surfer. Family worship, Christian, if you can send your kids to Christian school, or if you do homeschool and you're teaching your kids through that. Awana, baptisms have been a really good way for us to teach our kids about the word, like having them sit in and listen to the testimonies. Like Caleb, after one set of baptisms, he like after church just kind of told Kim, you know, Dad, can I just go sit in your office because I just want to pray? And we're like, okay. Like normally it's like, can I go get a snack, or, you know, can I run around with my friends? And it was so touching. Like, I think just the testimonies of these young men from UCLA really touched his heart, and it really convicted him, you know, that of different sins. And yeah, so good. So that's been a really good way to teach our kids about the word. One other thing that Car, just because she's my only girl, so I try to do a few things with her that are just for us. And so we do prayer buddies, and so we don't get to do it every night, but so simple. Like, I just say, oh, Car, let's do prayer buddies. And I'll just say, what's your prayer request? She'll tell me her prayer request. And then she asks me, Mommy, what can I pray for? And then we pray. And it takes, like, seriously, like, 2 minutes. Like, and we always pray for the same thing, that I'll be more patient and that she'll speak kindly. So it's really good. But it's nice because it's kind of, like, our time. And then, let's see. At the end, Lorraine has this cool thing that Sarah was telling me about. It's like this chart that helps you, like when your kids maybe are in some kind of situation, or you're trying to teach them on a specific topic in their life, and it gives you the verses and like in a quick way to find them. So she'll talk about that. So many things you could do. Obviously, you're not going to do all of those. You just pick and choose what is best for your family, but just to be thinking, okay, this is how I want to teach the word to my kids. I want to know it myself so that, and I want to live it myself so that I can teach it to my kids. Some things are planned and organized and, you know, thought out before. A lot of them are not, okay, but you want to be ready for those. I think just in closing, there was one set of baptisms where a dad read his son's testimony. Oh, so good. And I think for me, that was just such a good reminder, right? I pray that that's all of us one day, you know, that we can, at the end, just stand up and be able to just read our kids' testimony of how they love Christ, you know, and how they have understood the gospel and how God is changing their hearts. And so I think we all, it's just a good reminder to think about it now and to start doing it now, because if we get so wrapped up in all these other things when they're small, then, you know, you're going to keep just going on in that pattern. And then, you know, when they're ready to leave for college, you'll be so sad if you're like, oh my gosh, I just lost all that time to teach them what's most important, you know, but do it now so that we can all be those parents at a baptism reading our kids' testimony and just seeing how, yeah, God is just really using the word to change their lives and to really lead and to guide them. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much just for this time. Thank you so much for your word. You are so wise and you are so good and you are so gracious to us. You show us in your word what you want us to teach our kids. You give us the tools to be able to do that. Lord, just help us. We just pray for your grace upon our own lives so that we might not lose focus of what's important, God. I pray that you would just help us to just be worshiping you alone, not worshiping other things above you, and just cherishing your gospel. And God, I know that just as we are striving to do that, that we are going to be able to teach that to our kids all the more so. And we just pray for all of our kids that you would just be using all these amazing gifts that you've given to us through church, through aunties and uncles, through lamplighters, through Awana, through just all these different ways that you give us to learn your word. And we pray that our kids would just be really soaking it in and that it would be transforming their hearts so that they might just come to know you as their Lord and Savior and just to really be their guide and to learn how to live and to understand life just by their understanding of your word. So God, just bless these moms. Please be with them just every day. Give them that time in your word and just really encourage their hearts. Lord, I know that it could be a hard time when our kids are little and it's busy and we just get so wrapped up in all these diapers and all these things, Lord. But I just pray that you would just continue to encourage them to keep their eyes on you and that you would just give them great hope and knowing that, yeah, you are just so good and that you love them and you're going to help them to do what you've set before them. So we just thank you and praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.